The church again for their invitation for me to come and be with Brother Mark in this meeting. I just want to thank your pastor and his wife for their gracious hospitality and kindness that they've shown to us while we're here. But now we stand before the Lord and I need your prayers. A lot of times men will say that and you think it's just a formality of him getting started. But I mean it. I need your prayers tonight. I want to look at a verse in the scriptures that the first time I considered it to be a very odd verse. First of all, I didn't know what he was talking about. And then I wondered why he said it. And also wondered why he placed it in the scriptures in the place he placed it. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 22. Paul is writing here and he says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. First time I read that, I didn't have a clue what he had just said. Anathema, maranatha. I thought, Paul, you told me earlier in this book that your speech and your preaching was not enticing words of man's wisdom, but it was in demonstration of the spirit and the power of God. Well, here it sounds like you're using some words I've never seen or understood. And I begin to wonder about that. Then I begin to wonder at the place he placed it. He placed it in the last chapter of 1 Corinthians. And I find this about the Apostle Paul's writings. Generally in the last chapter, Paul would use that chapter to give admonitions to people that had helped him in his ministry. And he would call them by name and call them his fellow soldier, my fellow laborer, and name all these people. And he generally put that at the end of his letters and then signed off. Well, here he's got right at the end of this first letter. The word anathema means accursed, to be accursed. Paul uses this same word, it's translated from the same Greek word, at least a couple other places in his writings. In Romans chapter 9, verse 3, Paul says, for I wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Now the word accursed there just means separated. He wished that he was separated even from his ministry because he was fixing to have to do something he did not want to do. And it concerned his brethren, his kinsmen, according to the flesh, not his brethren according to the spirit. He was talking about those natural Jews, and here's what he did not. He wished he was even separated for Christ for having to do this. But here's what he had to tell those brethren. And it was simply this. For they are not all of Israel, which are of Israel. You know what he's telling them there? Not all the natural Israel is in the spiritual Israel. Just because you can trace your lineage back to Abraham doesn't mean nothing. If you're not a spiritual seed of Abraham, it doesn't mean nothing. You see, they thought forever that if I can trace my lineage back to Abraham, I'm one of God's, I'm one of his. And if you can't, you're just out. That was their belief. But then we find him use it again in Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, he says in verse 8, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And it was so important, he repeats himself. As I said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Now the word cursed here means condemned, not just separated. Let him be condemned for preaching any other gospel unto you than that which you have received or that which we have preached unto you. That's the seriousness of preaching false heresy. Let him be condemned. The word Maranatha means when the Lord comes or the Lord has come. So you could read this verse like this. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed when the Lord comes. That's what the verse is meaning. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed when the Lord comes. Now tonight, I want to try to present you four ways the scriptures present this verse. There's four ways. Now one of the ways that I'm going to present fits my situation. And one of the other three might present your situation. I'm going to try to show you which one presents the Apostle Paul's situation. I'm also try to show you the ones that presented David's position of saying that. Them that love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let them be accursed when the Lord does come. First of all, I want to go to the Psalms, the very first one, and show you how David meant this verse. Let them be accursed when the Lord does come. You know, David was king over Israel. Matter of fact, he was the king. If you want to talk about kings of Israel, David was the king. And David had fought many battles, shed a lot of blood as the king of Israel. He had shed so much blood that the Lord prevented him from building the temple that we spoke about last night that his son Solomon built because of the blood he had shed. He had won his own personal battles. He had a giant of a problem one time that he defeated rather easily by the hand of the Lord with just a few stones and a slingshot. So David was not asking for the Lord to handle his enemies because he was scared to do it himself. But he realized that the Lord, even back then, had revealed unto him, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. David is going to ask God to avenge his enemies. Now, I don't know everybody's situation. There may be someone in the crowd that may want to cry to God tonight because you have an adversary that you wish the Lord would avenge. I remember a widow woman one time that all she had to go to try to get her vengeance was one of the sorriest places you could go before an unjust judge. But yet she got what she wanted because of her continual coming. He said, she wearied me. But Psalms chapter 1, we'll just look at a few of these, but I want to show you as you go through Psalms, and you can go to 1 to 150 and just check how many times David asked for the vengeance of his enemies. In Psalms 1 verse 4, David says, for the ungodly are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. He's satisfied with his enemies one day will pay. In Psalms 3, verse 7, David says, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. He said, Lord, thou hast smitten my enemies upon the cheekbone. We go to Psalms 5. Psalms 5, David says, verse 8, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before thy face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Doesn't it sound like he's wanting the Lord to bring vengeance on his enemies? Psalms 11, then I'll continue on. Psalms 11, verse 5. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked shall he rain snares and fire and brimstone and a horrible tempest, and this shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, and his countenance does uphold the upright. You just go through these Psalms, and David is continually asking for the Lord to bring vengeance upon his enemies. And again, I said, he didn't do it because he wasn't scared to do it, because he was too scared to do it. He had well brought vengeance on many people during his lifetime. But he understood that vengeance was the Lord, saith, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And how many times do you get like that widow woman? You're wanting someone to handle your enemy. You have someone that persecutes you unmercifully, and you're wanting the Lord to take care of it. Well, the Lord says, let him that love not the Lord Jesus be anathema, maranatha. Let him be accursed when the Lord does come. But I go to the second reason, totally different from that, that you might cry anathema, maranatha when it comes to the ungodly. I go to Psalm 73. In Psalm 73, it says it's a psalm of Asaph. He begins by saying, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Now sometimes, doesn't it make you get to where you feel like you have almost failed because you have become envious at the wicked when you see the prosperity of them? And he describes the life of a wicked person here. He says, for there's no bands in their death, and their strength is always firm. They are not in trouble as other men are. He says, neither are they plagued like other men. Doesn't you get tired of seeing, you know, wicked people and they just get away scot-free? Don't everything seem, anything ever seems to happen to them? They do wickedness out of wickedness out of wickedness and nothing seems to happen. The courts fail. The people fail to ever even bring any kind of reasonable justice upon it. He goes on to say, their pride compasses them as does a chain. He said, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, and they have more than their heart could wish. They seem to be blessed beyond measure. Wicked people, and you know they seem to be so wicked, yet they have millions and billions of dollars. They have more than their heart could wish. Their pride compasses them as does a chain. They are corrupt. They speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. We drop down to verse 16, and Asa says, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. When I center my thoughts just on that, how much they have, how wicked they act, and how wicked they live, yet nothing ever seems to go on about it. They never met with any kind of justice. He said it was too painful for me to consider this until there's a change in this story. Here's what changes his whole opinion when he considers this. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. When we understand what's going to be the end of the wicked, I ask you, would you change place with the one of them? I wouldn't take all the billions of dollars any man has and trade that for my home in heaven. The little that we suffer here, the scriptures tell us, is not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. If you get depressed on how the world is going and how wicked it seems and how evil men seem to prosper and you barely make it on, I tell you, you go back to the sanctuary of God and you hear over and over, therein. Therein is going to be anathema maranatha. They'll be a curse when the Lord comes. Now, I tell you, that one has fit my situation a few times. I admit it, I've got depressed when I look at the world, when I look at the wickedness and the prosperity and all the unvalues that go on, injustices. But I change my mind every time I go back to the house of God. And I hear a preacher tell me about my home in heaven. And he tells me how my Savior died so that I'll live in that home in heaven. And then he tells me about the burning hell and the horrors and the tempest that the wicked face. And not for just a few years on this earth, forever, never, never. Then I cry, anathema, maranatha. Let them that love not the Lord Jesus Christ be accursed when the Lord comes back. There's a couple good reasons or different reasons why we might say that verse. I want to go now to why I think the Apostle Paul said it. Go with me to Matthew chapter 13. I think Paul's reading. And it could be to somebody in the congregation. Again, I don't know everybody's situation. They may have felt like this sometime in their life, that they're thankful. In Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 24, the Lord gives this parable. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while the men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared all the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, did not thou sow good seed in the field? From whence then has it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy has done this. And the servant, now listen to this part from here. And the servant said unto him, Will thou then that we go and gather them up, those tares? And here's what Jesus' reply was. Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. He said, let them both grow together unto the harvest. Now listen to what he says. Let them both grow together unto the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers. He didn't say, I will come back and say to you. He said, I will say to the reapers, gather ye gather first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. but gather ye the wheat into my barn. Now, aren't you glad it's not left up to me and to you to distinguish between wheat and tares? Because you see, I learned that a tare is very similar looking to the wheat until the wheat starts bearing fruit and tussles. Then when it starts bearing fruit, can you distinguish the wheat from the tares? But if you go too early and you start trying to get tares, you inevitably gonna get wheat too, because it hasn't started making fruit that you can identify it by. How many in the congregation that had met Saul of Tarsus before the road to Damascus would have ripped him up as a tare? Probably 100%. 100% back then would have, of God's people. They were sure that he was a tare. Probably could have been said the same for that thief on the cross. All his life was been identified as being a tare. But whoa, we find out he was part of the wheat. There's a person, and I won't name no names, but I had to promise myself that I do not call this person a tare in my mind. This person may be wheat, only God knows. But I'm glad he separates the wheat from the tares and not me. And there may be somebody in the congregation here tonight that led a life that for so long of their life, you would have been thought to have been a tare. And come to find out, we know now you're wheat. So I think that's why the Apostle Paul is saying, them that love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let them be anathema maranatha. Let them be accursed when the Lord comes. Because we don't know before the Lord comes, they may change and love the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's three ways. Now I want to go to the fourth, which is my way. If I said it tonight, I'd be saying it for this reason. Go with me back to Psalms. Psalms 37. Psalms 37 begins with the same sentiment. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. But here's where this psalm's different from 73. We were not to be envious of them. But here he says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut off. They shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as does the green herb. Their time's coming, and he says shortly, they shall soon meet their lot. And here's gonna be what happens when that happens. Cease down to about verse 8. He says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. And he ain't talking about this earth as it is right now, because we sure don't inherit, and I wouldn't want to inherit this one anyways. He explains what that beatitude, the meek shall inherit the earth, really means in Psalms 37. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. They shall not be in your presence, they shall not be in your life, and they shall not be in your mind. There's going to be coming a time when you forget any and all of the wicked and anything they ever did to you or you saw them do. They shall not be. Yea, thou shalt consider diligently, consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The earth he's talking about here is described in the scriptures as a new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. In my simple way of putting it, the new heavens, new earth, the earth that we're going to inherit. And here's a clue I give my people back home. Whenever you see the word inherit in the scriptures, you think about heaven, because that's what you're going to inherit. When the Bible tells you you're going to inherit something, you think about heaven. Now, it talks about two kingdoms in the scriptures. But this kingdom in here that we're in today, which I trust that this church is a part of and you and I are a part of, this is a kingdom that we press into. This is a kingdom that we enter. But there's a kingdom one day that he's going to say unto them on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And in that kingdom, that earth, that new heavens and earth, whatever name you want to give heaven, we're going to be severed from the wicked, and we're going to delight ourselves in the abundance of peace. Now that's the reason I cry anathema maranatha, me personally. And I put the definition of a curse just to be separated. I don't consider, or I don't even feel ill will for the Lord to punish him, which he is. I just want to be separated from the wicked, because that's when I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord and the peace of God. And that's my reason I say anathema maranatha. Now, Paul had a different reason, and David had a different reason. David wanted the hands of his enemies punished. Paul was thankful that it's left up to God to determine who's wheat and who's tares. And at some time in my life, I was envious at the wicked. But me and my wife talk every day. And we pray. And we yearn for the Lord to come back. Amen. I'm just like John when the Lord says, surely I come quickly. I got the same sentiment. Even so, come Lord Jesus. I'm ready to see him. I'm ready to be severed from the wicked and to enter that land of peace. God bless you.
Number 486.